And joining me in the Caravia studios this afternoon are Aaron Chasson III, Brady McKellar, and also Elsa Dimitriadis, all here with Wanderlust Theatre Company, which will open Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors next week on July 16th. And as I was telling Aaron just a little bit earlier, there's a whole lot of Shakespeare going on this summer.
There is.
And you all are not just doing Shakespeare, but you are in essence bringing Shakespeare in the Park to us here in Lafayette, or Shakespeare in the open air.
Absolutely.
This summer. So that's a wonderful addition to just this production. So, Elsa, has this been, you're directing.
Yes, ma'am.
The play. Has this been your dream to do Comedy of Errors?
For a long time. Mm-hmm. And when we were looking for a piece that we thought would work, it's actually the shortest of his pieces. It's very broad humor, and we just wanted something that even if someone was ready to shy away from Shakespeare, we couldn't help but make them laugh.
And in Shakespeare, broad humor is very broad.
Absolutely.
Broad and complex. Now, Wanderlust Theatre Company has just a rich variety of plays throughout the year. Are you coming to the end of your season?
This is the last show of the season.
This is the last show of the
season.
And
then we'll start in the fall again.
Okay. If you could just recap for us to give people a sense of the richness and wonderfulness of Wanderlust, what you all have done this past year.
We did Red, a play about an artist. And there was live painting on stage. We did Becky Shaw, which was a really messed up comedy, very dark. We did Eurydice, which was a very abstract piece at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. And we just did Of Mice and Men. We closed that, I guess, about 8 weeks ago. And we did that at Theater 810. And, so it was a classic. An American classic.
So a real range of styles, of periods, of emotions, of humor, darkness, seriousness throughout your year. So you're ending it with a Shakespeare comedy. And I guess, first of all, for those people who, when they hear, and that's not everybody, obviously people, there are a lot of people who do love Shakespeare.
Oh, absolutely.
Immediately. But for those people who might feel a little glitch, Shakespeare, how can I watch Shakespeare? What can you do to allay their fear, any of you?
Well, I'll tell you that I think that that's really part of what we're hoping to do is, now it's like, oh, Shakespeare. And we imagine that Shakespeare was designed for these scholars and these literary minds to sit around and scratch at their chins as they talk about Shakespeare. But that wasn't Shakespeare's intent. Like all of his plays, from the comedies to the histories to even the most intricate of the tragedies, were designed for the everyman, for the common person to go and sit and watch a play and to be entertained and to be affected. And so that's what we're wanting to do with this show. It's a very basic show. In terms of the text, it's not difficult to follow in any way or
you don't have
to
have done
understand.
Any homework before you got there.
No, not at all. Please don't.
No flowcharts.
No.
And it's just wonderful. And I think that it best gives us the opportunity to – we at Wander – and I think it's even in the slogan, but we've kind of joked around that it's like, making theater for the groundlings again, which is kind of – Shakespeare, like I said, it sort of gets this overanalyzed and what was this and what was that. But that's not what he was writing for. And so we're trying to sort of get back to that primary element.
And the reference, the groundlings that you made, could you tell us?
Yes. Well, at Shakespeare's Globe, there were a variety of different seating options available. And one of them that actually was no seating was that you could basically stand on the ground in the middle of the Globe. And it was the cheapest seats. Cheapest stands. And, the people that were of the middle to lower class would be the ones that would fill those spaces. And so that's what we're doing.
And we want people to feel free to chat to one another, chat to the actors. And...
Well, not while I'm talking.
And I've heard they threw things on stage too, but you're not going to encourage
that. Not glass.
That. No,
money.
Throw
anything.
Yes. Money.
Money.
Peanuts. I'm okay with peanuts.
Especially bills, because coins can hurt. But
a bill, a nice soft bill.
Somebody wants to fold a 20 into a paper airplane.
Okay. So that's not a hard and fast rule about not throwing things.
No. Right.
They're welcome. Sure. And of course, to use the word groundlings, you will be performing this in a space where people will be seated close to the ground. They will be
sure. As close as they like.
That's right. So it will be in a a green space,
yes,
in downtown, close to downtown Lafayette.
Yes.
Is there a limit to how many people will be able to attend, or is this a very large
lots it's, of groundlings? It's a large field next to Johnson's Boucanière on the corner of St. John and Convent. And there should be plenty of space for the people that want to come.
Okay. And is this a blanket?
People can feel free to bring a blanket or chairs, whatever they'd like. Or if they want chairs to be there when they get there, they can go to errors.eventbrite.com and they can have VIP seating that's already there with their
chair.
Name.
They can.
All right. So that puts them on another level of Shakespeare.
Oh, right.
That's right.
They don't have to be a groundling.
No. They'll be a seated guest, a chairling.
Well, let's talk about this play. And, you know, it's hard to give away a plot in Shakespeare. Everybody knows the plots in Shakespeare. They can just look them up. Yeah. But walk us through Comedy of Errors. And obviously the name does say a bit about what we're going to enter into. But anyone want to jump into what happened?
It's about two sets of twins who were lost at sea. Antipholus is the master and Dromio is the servant. And Antipholus of Syracuse comes to find his brother in – which he doesn't know is he's come to find his brother in his hometown where his brother is. So everyone knows his brother, Antipholus's brother, and thinks that he is Antipholus of Ephesus.
They're both Antipholi. Yeah,
they're Antipholi. Antipholi.
As if to make it less confusing. They're
that's
both
right.
Antipholuses. There's and they're two, both Dromios.
Right,
and
two so Dromios, two Antipholuses.
And you two, Brady McKellar and Aaron Chasson III, you play yourselves the twins, right?
Right.
Is that, yes.
Right. Yes, okay. I play Antipholuses.
The two Antipholi.
Antipholus of Syracuse and Ephesus, and Brady plays Dromio of Syracuse and Ephesus.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, I just as you were beginning to describe this, I had this image of Shakespeare just cackling away, you know, thinking, I'm really going to get him this time and confuse them completely with the characters.
Yeah, this is written from the idea is taken from a Greek playwright. Plautus, yes. Mm-hmm. My cousin actually translated it and he's coming to see the show. So this should be interesting for him to see.
No pressure, absolutely. Going to do a rundown afterwards to say.
I'm sorry, your cousin translated Shakespeare into English?
Plautus.
I know, that was a joke.
The original Greek. Might be one up on Shakespeare there. So there's a lot of confusion.
A lot of
mistaken identities.
Yeah, hijinks.
A good Shakespearean word, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So in addition to the two of you, how many other characters? Is this a really full play, lots of characters in and off stage?
There's about 15 other characters played by 9 other people.
Okay. Well, we'll list all their names a little earlier. Okay. So in addition to
– yes.
Are there any others who are playing two characters at one time? Are you
No. There are a couple of other cast members that are playing multiple characters throughout the course of the show.
So you'll have to keep up. We'll help you, obviously.
Okay. Well, let's talk about these two sets of twins and characterize them for people so they'll have a sense of what to expect. Maybe start off with the Antiphi.
No problem. Antipholus of Syracuse has been on this journey to find his brother for years now. And he's not very happy and he's just in search of this guy, and he's been doing it for a long time. And I feel like Antipholus of Syracuse is a little nicer. He's not so brassy as Antipholus of Ephesus. Ephesus is like sometimes I feel like he's like Jackie Gleason. He's quick to anger on the honeymooners. Like he's quick to anger. He beats his servant a lot. He's always Gosh, I hope there's anyone of the family of Jackie Gleason. Please,
There's a lot of beating.
Right. There's a lot of beating. There's a lot of hitting.
Well, there is in Shakespeare. Yes.
Well,
you know, as people are listening to the, what does that do to an actor? You playing that kind of? Do you meet yourself coming and going? How do you keep the two separate? How do you have to like quickly run out and change costume colors?
Yes, absolutely. There are certainly times when I'm I I think I'm just exiting and I'm like, okay, that scene's over. Oh, I got to go back on stage. But I'm not only got to go back on stage, but I have to go back on stage as someone completely different.
Have you ever worn the wrong hat when you came back in?
That's funny you say that. Yes. And Brady or somebody will quickly tap me and say, hey, put that wrong hat off, or they'll throw me the hat on stage and I quickly put it on. I'm definitely confusing myself a lot, but it's getting better. We open on Wednesday, right?
Yes.
So we have some time.
Something out of Monty Python, getting better. do you wear different colors to signify? What are your costumes signify the two different characters?
We're just signifying the two different characters with a hat.
So
Syracuse
hat
wears a hat.
Okay.
Ephesus doesn't wear a hat. And that's really good for me because I'm one of the groundlings and I need – I'm an everyman. I need it to be as simple as possible.
Simple, not two different colored hats. Okay. So Brady, how do you meet yourself coming and going? What are your particular challenges with being –
Well, I tell you, the first thing that I did was I highlighted my script with two different colors. So
perfect.
Syracuse is green. Ephesus is blue. The green one has a hat. And so it makes it very simple as I'm sort of coming and going as we've been working through this to go, okay, green, where's my hat, you know? And luckily we've been working with hats that are collapsible so one can just put their hat in their pocket or at least I can.
Snatch it off really quickly.
Aaron has to have his thrown to him. and so that's kind of been the way that I've been going about it is highlighting them in different colors just so I can remember who is coming and who is going to where.
Now, you're not going to have your script on stage, Brady. You know that, right?
Well, I was going to have cue cards.
Oh.
I was going to have
green cue cards.
Professional actor.
No, but it is. It's a lot of fun. And there's actually – there's a couple of scenes where I am talking to the other Dromio from behind a wall. And so there's a lot of this sort of back and forth. And I am both the back and the fourth. And so it's just a lot of fun to sort of to do. And then you come off stage and you're panting. You know, you're like, gee whiz, what's going on? And, you know, with Aaron, you know, Aaron and I have worked together a lot. And it's always a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
Most recently is Lenny and George from Of Mice and Men. So,
yes.
So you worked together on that rather serious classic.
Right. And this is completely different because mostly because Aaron hits me in this play.
instead of George shooting Lenny.
Of, I did – you know what? I did promise Aaron – that I would not be killing him at the end of this production.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's a good – so come see Shakespeare.
Okay. So are you rewriting Shakespeare or
– No, actually no one is supposed to die at the end of this play.
But
it's just of mice
and – He just has that memory of the last
– Mice and men, you know.
Sometimes Aaron cries in rehearsal.
He's still getting over that. Okay. I want to tell people who are just tuning in and wondering what this hilarity is all about. I am speaking with the Wanderlust Theater Company, portion of them, director Elsa Demetriadis of Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors, and the two sets of twins here represented by Brady McKellar and Aaron Chasson III. Comedy of Errors will open next week on the 16th in a lovely green space in downtown Lafayette. So we'll have Shakespeare on the green here in Lafayette. And you can either be a groundling or a chairling, depending upon the ticket that you choose. So lots of hilarity, lots of confusion. That's very Shakespearean in his comedies. Elsa, what has it been like directing these two who are playing such split personalities?
The whole cast has been like herding cats, honestly. But it's been lovely because you need that energy in the room. You know,
I wish people could have seen the expressions on their faces when you said that.
I feel like I just kind of tried to stay out of their way, you know, that all I am is a mirror. And I can say this works or this doesn't work, and that's kind of it, you know?
The mirror is so important, Elsa.
That's kind of – I don't know.
They would not know where they were going could they not see their reflection in your mirror.
Well,
very
so
true.
Has it been as much fun directing this play, directing Shakespeare, as you were imagining?
Yes, and we had an opportunity. We've included live music, so we have a little band made up of cast members. And we have a little bit of puppetry in the show as well.
Of course.
And so so it's been kind of everything but the kitchen sink, you know, or everything and the kitchen sink. I never get any expressions right.
It's really been one of those things to where, you know, part of our primary mission as Wanderlust is to tell these stories, you know, and different stories are told in different ways. And luckily, Comedy of Errors has really allowed us a lot of different venues to communicate some of this story through music to sort of set the genre and the feel, and puppetry to help explain some things. And so it's been really neat to dive into it really from a storytelling standpoint and play around with, you know, what does that afford us?
Well, tell us just a bit about these puppets. They're not written into the play. There's no direction that says puppets exunt or no. How do you use them? How have you brought them into the script? Do you all have to manipulate puppets yourselves?
At one point.
Pretty much everybody touches a puppet at some point in time.
Everyone touches a puppet in the play. Okay, so there is much puppetry.
There is. It starts out at the beginning, actually. There's a very lengthy backstory that's told, and we felt like it would aid the audience if they could visually see it as well as listen to well, it's actually Duncan Thistlethwaite who tells this long story. And so you have the option of watching him tell a beautiful story or also refer to the visual that's happening as well.
And what kind of puppets will there be, or is that a surprise?
There's shadow puppets. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's rod puppets. So I think that's it, yeah.
And you all are master puppeteers and puppet makers. And so that
we enjoy it.
That is a treat for any Wanderlust production that has puppets in it, to see you get to use your craft, your excellent craft. So puppetry is a part of Comedy of Errors, another great part of the joy of this production. Outside, under the stars, amazing actors and actresses and puppets as well. And I do have to throw this in there. When we said there's much Shakespeare going on around town, Aaron, actually, you have a child who's in another play that will open that same week, I believe. That's right.
I think the 19th is when
they
open.
So lots of choices. I just had to throw that in there because that's one of the amazing things, too, about this whole wonderful ferment of theater in our community as well. So lots of great Shakespeare.
Absolutely.
So what do you say to people? Because obviously there's humor, there's puppetry, but what do you say to people about the language of Shakespeare? How have you all been dealing with the language? And what do you say to people who still have a little bit of a nervousness about Shakespearean language?
I think that the lovely thing about these actors is that once they knew what they were saying, and Dr. John Fierro is our dramaturg, and he aided so much with that, that as long as you inflect it the way that you would inflect it today, and you stop feeling like it's elevated, like somehow the way that you deliver it has to sound lofty, you completely understand what the joke is. You know, I mean, obviously this piece is particularly good as a vehicle for that. But I can't think of a single time in the play where an audience person would say, I have no idea what's going on, you know. And the actors are very physical, so they help, you know, they gesticulate and they point and that sort of thing. So I think that you get pretty much everything.
Well, and a lot of it, you know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying. You know, like Shakespeare didn't write these things to be studied in English lit classes. He wrote them to be plays. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that talk about how they don't like Shakespeare or Shakespeare's boring or they can't understand it is because they've been limited exposure to reading it in classes. But that's not what these were for. These were being done to be performed out loud and in front of people and with dancing and music. And I agree. I think that once you see it up and it's on its feet, it's – I mean, there's nothing challenging about it. I mean, you get it. You get it. We've got some really wonderful actors that really understand the language of Shakespeare, and they very effectively communicate it. So no fear.
So have you been in many Shakespeare plays, Brady?
I have done several Shakespeare plays. This is probably my sixth or seventh,
He also has a one-man show about the character of Shylock. So he's pretty comfortable with the material, and Aaron's done quite a few pieces as well.
Yes, and people may remember, Aaron, you were in William and Judith, where
you played Shakespeare.
Actually.
That's right.
Yes, you were in the
mind.
So I have
a direct line to the man himself.
It's like 2 degrees of separation for me.
That's right. Yeah, all these different connections. And as you mentioned, it's a very physical play, and they play it very physically, but you also both have wonderful voices, and that imparts so much as well when you are giving Shakespeare.
And that's a big part of me finding the characters of the Antipholus of Syracuse and Antipholus of Ephesus is I literally had – you know, if my voice is higher, I'm a different guy. If it's lower, then I'm a different – you know. Mm-hmm. And it really affects the way that I move and the way that I talk to other actors on stage and characters on stage. So yeah, your voice is a big deal. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, Brady, as well? Or are you changing in your character? Are you doing more than just changing a hat?
There are some – I usually go the different direction from Aaron, and then I make physical changes and then let my voice match that instead of where Aaron is going with vocal changes first and then physically matching it. But I didn't want to get too far away from that because these people have to be similarly enough that even people mm-hmm. that know them very, very well confuse them. And so, you know, I also wouldn't let me use an accent. I really wanted to.
That's the first question he asks every time he's cast in the show.
Can I use an accent?
So yes. No accent in this one.
And they're not all politically sensitive, let me just say.
Excuse me.
What kind of an accent did you want?
Judith, why are you doing that?
this is not good professionally. We'll just let it go.
Okay. In internal Wanderlust Theater Company politics
We'll have a meeting about
that's
that.
That's right.
Later.
I'm sure there's some play that's just chock full of actual accents that you could focus on.
Oh, great. There is.
There
great.
Is. Yes, absolutely. Great, Elsa. Again, if you are tuning in, Wanderlust Theater Company is producing Shakespeare's comedy, The Comedy of Errors. It will open on the 16th, and it will be outdoors on a lovely green. How many performances will there be?
We have scheduled 8 performances, and we did as many. I mean, we hope that they are all successful, but also in case there's rain, we're able to cancel or postpone or that sort of thing. So, and I've told people to check Facebook, our event page, in case of rain, and we will update, you know, hourly as to what our plans are. So, you know, we just kind of have to fly by the seat of our pants a little bit for this show.
You never know in Louisiana.
Right.
Summertime. And tell us about the other actors who are in the play. There are quite a number.
Yes. And a range of experience. Monique Araby, who was in William and Judith as well. Charlie Halfen, Megan Locke, Christy Lichty, Chris Matochi, Katie Slattery, Duncan Thistlethwaite. And then we have 2 students, Ione Eakins and Melissa Watson, who both, I believe, go to Lafayette High School or will be going to Lafayette High School.
That's right.
And they're talent theater students as well. So they've had an opportunity to kind of, you know, work with, you know, actors who are a little more seasoned. So I think it's been great. You know?
Well, and that we were talking about that earlier as well, Aaron, the exchange of generations in the theater world here in this community
as
well.
Sure.
So many younger kids coming up feeling extremely comfortable in the world of theater and having these opportunities with professional organizations like yours.
Right.
You're really offering them that amazing
And it's
experience.
Been lovely because Charlie is actually their teacher during the school year. So that's been interesting to watch kind of that boundary break down for the summer, but then, you know, be reestablished next year.
Well, and also seeing her in a professional capacity
Absolutely.
As well and offering that. So great opportunities for us all to see wonderful theater this summer. And as we mentioned earlier, The Taming of the Shrew is being performed by the Summer Shakespeare Youth
Acting
Ensemble.
Up in Acadia. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's and right. So they'll open that week as well. So you can mm-hmm. double bill Shakespeare next
Absolutely.
Week. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Who's done the costuming and set design for you?
We took care of it. Of course, Duncan has helped liberally. We're building a stage, which he posted some beautiful photos and some design work that he did for that. And, you know, it's been a challenge because it's completely new. And you have to think about all sorts of things like restrooms and electricity and things
that
you don't.
Sound and all sorts of things. It's been quite a challenge sort of to develop what do we need to do theater outside, you know?
But we feel like now that we have the answers, you know, we'll be better prepared every year if we are able to continue this.
So what does the stage look like? How large is it?
It's
28 by 30 feet, mm-hmm. and it's raked. It has a, you know, it's has an incline.
The first 20 feet of the stage has an incline, and then the back 8 feet is flat.
Mm-hmm. So it's inclines toward the audience?
Toward the audience.
Has that been a challenge to walk and act on an incline, or is that normal in
It's a slow gradation, okay. But challenges like shoes, you know, so that there's not that amplification of sound. Mm-hmm. And so just things that you never thought, where we're going to put water because it's really hot and actors are running, especially like Aaron and Brady running around stage, you know.
That's right.
Like where can they hide? Oh, where are we changing? You know, so we have a tent, the canvas tent that we're building and – so.
But we were careful to also start pretty early doing outdoor rehearsals. There's a couple of locations in town that I guess 2 or 3 weeks ago we started doing our rehearsals there just so we can all sort of acclimate ourselves to theater outside and in the heat and staying hydrated and things like that.
Absolutely. You know, that could bowl over quite a few actors if you just suddenly
– yeah, sure. We rehearsed a couple times at Park Putnam. And we had people who gave us notes. Who it's been lovely. Like one night, I think there were like 30 people in the
park. And they
were
taking notes and giving.
Oh no,
response.
They would call them out to us while they were.
Yeah. One of you is too loud, and one of you is too soft. And then I was like, we have a director. And they were like, still too loud.
What is Park Putnam?
It's across from the federal courthouse. You know, on Lafayette.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's where one of the stages is for Festival International.
Right.
Yeah. In the true tradition of Groundlings, I'm sure.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, I mean, absolutely. At least they're used to now that sort of nice. You know, yes. response.
And don't be surprised if I get really thirsty, audience members. I might come down and grab a little
Yes, that would be helpful. If everyone in the first couple of rows could have open containers, we would definitely appreciate
and
that.
An extra straw.
Of chilled water.
That's right.
And we do encourage people to bring food and drink if they'd like, but Johnson's will be open, as well as a couple other local food trucks.
Okay, so in the best tradition of some Renaissance fair.
Absolutely.
You have your open stage.
So come early. You know, the show starts at 7:30, but, you know, get there, be able to lay your blanket out or chairs or whatever.
It starts at 7:30 unless I'm not done with my brisket sandwich.
Right, and then we'll hold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, unless people start pounding on the stage, you know, demanding that it start.
Oh, if only that would happen.
That'd be nice.
Give us Aaron.
That's right.
And so you mentioned earlier that people can reserve tickets and reserve how they want to be seated. Do you recommend they reserve their tickets or will there be tickets at the gate?
Well, it's actually – there are not really tickets. This production, we're actually doing what we call pay what you will or payest what thou wilt. Mm-hmm. And
he's been dying to use that.
I have. I've been trying to get that out for a while now. And it's sort of an admission project that other theaters, other regional theaters across the country have played with off and on. And it is. It's basically an idea where anybody that wants to come and see the show is more than welcome. Please come and see the show. If halfway through or as you're leaving you feel inspired, or if even on your way in you feel inspired to pay something, then please, you know, we definitely appreciate that. So the only actual ticket is just those people that want to have a chair there ready for them. And that's to go to the Eventbrite page to take care of that. But everybody else, just come in, sit down, have some Shakespeare.
Bring your blanket.
Remember, we have
own.
Expenses, but we want people to feel like they're paying what they think we deserve.
So pay as much as you liketh also.
Right.
Right.
Or willeth. We're talking about The Comedy of Errors by William Shakespeare, being produced by Wanderlust Theatre Company. My guests are director Elsa Demetriadis and the twins, the two sets of twins, that's comprised right. of Aaron Chasson III and Brady McKellar. And they will be in hats and not with hats and all kinds of wonderful things, and lots of puppets as well. Wanderlust Theater puppets. Just a great experience. First opening night is July 16th.
Wednesday,
so it will run that weekend and the following.
It's Wednesday through Saturday. We don't have matinees because it would be so hot.
So hot.
Absolutely. So Wednesday through Saturday.
So 8 performances.
Yes.
And if there's rain, well, they'll just let you come at another time.
Check out the Facebook event page.
Okay. Yeah. And that would be Wanderlust Theater, or what do you have?
You just type in Comedy of Errors and it should pop right up.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for offering this wonderful
Thank you
Thanks
for having
us, as always.
This summer. We look forward to it.
Thanks.